Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate that you listen to the podcast. Make sure you subscribe and also leave us some feedback. Rate us. Give us a review. Thanks for listening. Hope you enjoy.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to The Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
Oregon and Oregon State have a big week of basketball ahead of them this week in the state of Washington, and then next week in Vegas. Nick Daschle of the Oregonian and Oregon Live covers Oregon State basketball. He's joining us now. He's on the road, on his way to, where are you headed? Pullman or Seattle? Where are you going?
Seattle. I'm at exit 88 right now at a McDonald's. We're talking to you. It's Ash Wednesday. It was the only place I could find a fish sandwich, so I had to stop here.
Good Catholic kid. I like that. Daschle,
yeah.
Let me ask you, okay, let's set the stage. Oregon State had a bad week last week. Probably which of those two games was more painful?
Probably Arizona, because that's a team, you know, that's a team they match up with. They just didn't rebound with a darn in that game, and that's what cost them. They generally been a pretty good rebounding team, and They just forgot to rebound. That's what cost them the whole game.
They are within a striking distance of finishing in the top four in conference, sitting at 9-7 along with Utah and UCLA. What do they need to do this week to lock up a bye in the first round in Vegas?
One win, either at Washington or Washington State, gets them a top four. The preferred place to finish would be third, because that allows them to avoid Washington until the finals, if, you know, they could get that far. But yeah, one win would do it. And, you know, the Washington game would be a better one, obviously, for anything down the road as far as postseason goes. But yeah, one win.
I also am thinking, you know, when do you think they played their best basketball? At what point of the year?
Wow. You know, I think it was in the first half of the season. You know, that stretch there, right, actually at the start, where they, you know, played Oregon, got off to a good start, and then they were without Trace Tinkle for you know, a game against USC and then UCLA. They got that 3-0 start. They were doing a lot of things well. They started the games fast, and you know, they've been okay since then, but they're pretty much like the rest of the Pac-12. They can't seem to gain any momentum, which is what makes Oregon interesting this week, because if for some reason Oregon had a good week, they'd be kind of an outlier in the Pac-12 where they actually have some momentum.
They've won two straight, the Ducks. They're sitting a game behind Oregon State. They don't have the tiebreaker on Oregon State. But what happens in the case of multiple teams tying for, like, the four spot? What would happen there?
Well, you know, I outlined that in a story earlier this week, and I'm trying to remember. Oregon and Oregon State can both finish in the top four. There's a path to that. Oregon's only chance is they have to sweep, and they need to avoid UCLA, because UCLA they lost both games to. But other teams, like, they get in ties with Utah, Colorado. They win tiebreakers there. They would win a tiebreaker with USC, because they would have had a win over Washington. It's just they need to avoid UCLA, and they need to get to 10-8. They've got a pretty good chance to finish in the top four then.
Nick Daschle of the Oregonian with us talking about men's college basketball. I will shift and talk women's in a minute, but let's finish up with these Washington schools. Washington State's lost three in a row, but as we have seen from Cal and other teams of this conference, any given day, right?
Yeah, except for Washington State. I don't know what happened, but they had four guys out last week with concussions. I mean, in basketball. This isn't football, it's basketball.
Wow.
They had four guys out. And supposedly they might get a couple of those guys back, and they have, you know, they've played well at times this year. I mean, but Oregon State's usually had Washington State's number when they played in the last few years. So I don't anticipate them losing over there, but, you know, the pressure will be on if they really need to win. So it's not a gimme.
Is there a chance Washington could come into this week going, look, we've got the one seed locked up. We're probably in the tournament. You know, we're going to get a NCAA berth. Is there a chance they could sleep this week and maybe the Oregon schools, one or both, would get them?
I mean, I guess that's one way of looking at it, but I can't imagine Washington's thinking that or even thinking that way, because what if they lose both these and then they lose their opener in the Pac-12 tournament and they don't get even an at-large berth? I mean, last year USC finished second league and they didn't get in the NCAAs. I think they made the Pac-12 tournament final. So, yeah, it's possible, but I think Washington still needs to keep trying to win in games to make sure they can get in the NCAAs, because they didn't win a good league, that's for sure.
Which fan base in the conference should be most frustrated with how the season went?
Of the entire conference?
Yep.
Conference. Well, UCLA. I mean, their talent is top two in the league almost every year, and they've just booted some games away this year, and they lost some players too, but you know, UCLA year in and year out's got the best talent right up there with it, and the fact that they're 9-7 and they're going to go on the road here. You know, there's no guarantee they're going to win either one of these games. They could finish 9-9 in league, which is not very good. You know, Arizona, I suppose, will not feel good, but they really didn't have much business being in a discussion for a league title this year anyway with the players they had on the roster.
Nick Daschle of the Oregonian is with us. As I look across the conference, you know, I'm trying to pick maybe two teams that could win this thing that wouldn't be in the top four seeds. I look at Oregon and I look at UCLA. Even a 9-9 UCLA team or a 9-9 Oregon team, if they got hot in Vegas, I wouldn't count that out. Would you?
No, I wouldn't count out Colorado either. They actually won five in a row at one point this season, and they have one of the better players in the league in Wright. That's a team that could get hot in the tournament, but yeah, I would say Oregon and UCLA would be the other two. I wouldn't write off Oregon State yet, but you know, they haven't proven they could just keep winning games, and they'll have to win three or four in a row. Of course, anybody will other than Washington.
I don't trust any of these teams.
No, it's not like the women's side where you can pretty much put a ring around the top four, maybe five teams, and one of those teams is going to win, probably Oregon, but the men is a crapshoot.
I saw your post on Oregon Live breaking the story that Oregon and Oregon State are going to join Memphis and Oklahoma and play in the Phil Knight Invitational that'll come up in November at Moda Center. I think it's cool that Oregon State's getting in this thing. They were left out of the PK-80. What did you make when you heard the news?
Oh, that's a big win for Oregon State to be able to play in something like this, because they struggle to get high profile opponents playing in their backyard. And I don't think they're going to get anybody like an Oklahoma at Gill, but if they could get somebody like Oklahoma in Portland, that's a big win for them. The one that struck me though when I first heard about this was, you know, it's at least a 3-year commitment. I mean, this could open up the door to, you know, the game we really, really want to see around here, which is Gonzaga and Oregon. I mean, I don't know why those teams never play, but this seems like it might work its way out one of these years where those two teams play in something like that.
Yeah, I asked one time about that, and I was told that, you know, there wasn't a lot in it for Gonzaga because, you know, they didn't want maybe the perception that that if Oregon beat him in a game at Moda Center, that, you know, they weren't the best team in the Northwest. They've already kind of proven that. Not a lot to gain for them. And then they were also, both sides were bellyaching that they had a hard time finding an opening on the schedule. But I'm like, hey, this is the game everybody wants to see. We should have these teams all play off.
Yeah, at some point, those are ridiculous arguments.
Yeah.
Gonzaga and Oregon need to play at some point, and preferably sometime before, you know, Phil Knight leaves this world.
If we put together a tournament that was UP, Portland State, Oregon State, Oregon, Gonzaga, Washington State, and Washington. And we do it over like 4 days. That's eight teams.
I don't know that I'd be a fan of that, just because the pilots need to get their program going before they get into, you know, any sort of discussion with playing with the other teams in the Northwest. I mean, they're so far, the gap is so big between UP and the rest. Like, you know, Portland State, they're in that ballpark.
But. Would you think Terry Porter's going to get fired?
I think they're going to look at it. I mean, you can't say this program's better today than it was 3 years ago.
Spider senses are tingling with Porter. He just hasn't performed. It's about that time, don't you think?
No, they haven't done anything. And they get blown out at home too often, too. I mean, I don't know. They're pretty hesitant about firing people at UP, but boy. But I don't know where you go. I mean, they can't go down the old Blazer route anymore if they move on, because that's failed at UP. They got to go with something else. But I don't know if there's a hot assistant coach out there that would be willing to take on that project or not.
Let's talk about the women's tournament briefly. I want Oregon and Oregon State to play each other. I think it would be great. You mentioned the four teams. Who do you like to win the conference tournament?
Well, I think it's five. You know, it's five teams: UCLA, Arizona State, and then Oregon State, and Stanford. Oregon is a pretty heavy favorite. I mean, when they were right, they beat most teams by pretty good margins. That's not to say Oregon State or any of those teams could beat Oregon on the right day, but. I mean, we got Arizona State's going to play UCLA probably in the semis or in the quarters, and one of those teams would have to play Oregon. I got to go with Oregon, but it wouldn't surprise me if Stanford or Oregon State makes a run at them.
Nick Daschle, get on the road. I appreciate you, man.
All right, we'll see you.
Be safe. There he is, Nick Daschle, pulling over at exit 88. To join this radio show. On Friday, SEC Commissioner Greg Sankey will be joining us. Be sure you're here for that interview. I have so many things I want to ask the successful commissioner of the SEC. And I'm guessing, like a lot of listeners have pointed out, that Greg Sankey won't have to call back a second day because his phone's not working. He'll make sure his phone's working the first time he calls in. Larry Scott, leave it here. 2 at 2 next. Maybe every day on the show we need to have Alabama Adriana do like a social media educational moment.
I could use it. I think that's great.
Here's one. Cam Newton, quarterback, Carolina Panthers. He's at a news conference in which a reporter starts to ask him about an Instagram picture. And there's a little bit of disconnect because Cam's asking the reporter, did you like the photo? And the reporter's answering like a normal person, like starting to give him like, well, you know. But Cam's like, no. Did you double tap on the photo? Here's the exchange.
Saw the Instagram photos. Was that good for you to clear
your...
Did
you like it?
Looked like better than staying in Charlotte.
But did you like it, though? Did you double tap?
No. She had to show me.
No, so you're a ghost follower. That's crazy.
Do you want me to repeat the question?
No, I want you to go back and like the picture.
First of all, you laughed when the reporter said, yeah, it's better than staying in Charlotte. And Cam's like, that's crazy. What's a ghost follower?
A ghost follower is somebody that follows you but doesn't like any of your stuff. They're just kind of creeping.
Hmm. Is there a stigma attached to that or...
Not that I know of. It's actually a term that's pretty recent to me, but I guess I am a ghost follower to some people because, like, you don't have to like everything that comes across your feed.
Cam wants that like. What do you think of people who just like everything?
I hate that so much. But also, one of my questions that I had in class that never actually got answered was, if the liking has a negative effect on our well-being instead of commenting, then why is the like such a big deal to people?
Take it away. Because I'll tell you why, because it encourages you to post. Because when you get the likes, you do get a little bit of a, when you see all those likes, oh, look at all those people like my photo.
Yeah, it's a rush of dopamine. Yeah, dopamine.
You're like, oh, I better post another photo so I can get some more of that drug. You know?
Yeah.
We're all hamsters in this game. Snapchat.
I would have done what that reporter did. I would have been just like that. Not knowing what he's talking about.
It's like when I was 10, my grandmother took me to a shoe store. She says, we're going to get you some of these Nikes. And I said, you mean Nike? And she says, yes. And she pointed to him, and I said, those are bad. And she goes, oh, I thought you'd like them. Remember that? Remember that conversation we used to have? Bad. Oh, that's bad. You don't say that anymore. You say what?
Sick.
Sick.
Fire.
Fire.
Were you meaning bad in like a bad way?
No, bad is good.
Oh.
Grandma?
Well, you describe headstrong women as bad. Oh, she's bad.
Yeah.
Like that. But I wouldn't describe a like an object.
Yeah, but that's what we used to say. Like when you say sick, we used to say, oh, those are bad. See? Bobby, 2-2. Two biggest things in sports are going on. What are they?
The 2-2.
Some news today. Oregon State and Oregon are joining Memphis and Oklahoma in the inaugural men's basketball Phil Knight Invitational, Tuesday, November 12th, Moda Center. Tickets will go on sale, ranging in price from $30 to $125. You can go to pkinvitational.com if you want tickets. Oklahoma's good. They're 19-11 this season, projected to land in the NCAA tournament. Memphis is coached by Penny Hardaway. They're 18-12. Remember the PK80? The Ducks, DePaul, Connecticut, Oklahoma, Portland State, Duke, Michigan State. Well, this is a derivative of the PK80. I'm calling it the PK82 because Phil would be 82. But really, it is a college basketball event that is going to help Portland. It's going to help Oregon State. It's going to help Oregon. And I'm all for events that bring profile to our region. Remember the PK80? 16 teams. In celebration of Phil Knight's 80th birthday, I felt like it fell flat for people here because it was really hard to get a ticket. It was so expensive. This event feels more made for fans. And I'm just glad that Oregon State, which was shut out of the PK80, is getting in the Phil Knight Invitational. It's a big deal for Oregon State. Second thing in my 2-2. Is it just me, or does the Oregon Ducks football staff feel like it's still one short? Mario Cristobal made a good hire last week. Andy Avalos, he's the new defensive coordinator. I liked it. Fresh ideas, new enthusiasm, got some proof of performance at Boise State. This is a good hire. But what about the offense? Marcus Arroyo, he needs a consultant. He needs an analyst on his shoulder. It's why I think the Ducks coaching staff is just a wee bit unfinished. It's like watching the four-man bobsled team with only three guys there. It's like, hey, don't they need one more? That's the feeling I have when I look over at the Ducks. Now, Marcus Arroyo is supposed to be a smart guy. And I think Mario Cristobal likes him a lot. But I think Cristobal might have a blind spot when it comes to his coaching staff. And I think it's just something worth watching, worth paying attention to. But Mario Cristobal said something powerful and important on Monday. He was asked about Jim Levitt's departure from Oregon. And he had something really profound to say.
It is what it is. You know, changes are made. People move on. And I think it's as simple as that. I think there's nothing more to it, and nothing ever will be more to it than the betterment of the program, because every single decision is always going to be about the betterment of the program.
The betterment of the program. Think about that. If every single decision he makes is for the betterment of the program, why has Cristobal not yet hired a consultant to get alongside Marcus Arroyo and help Arroyo get it figured out? Yeah, Arroyo might be a better play caller with a healthy offensive line. Justin Herbert coming back for another season might make all the difference. Better wide receivers might solve all the problems. Like, maybe he doesn't need it. but maybe is not where I want to live if I'm Mario Cristobal. I would make damn sure I get a play caller alongside Marcus Arroyo who can either help Arroyo be successful or, if Arroyo falters, take over the play calling midseason. That's a move Mario Cristobal has to make. That's the two at two, the two biggest things in sports that are going on. Coming up, the best thing that happened today in the final segment of the show. Bobby, we decided yesterday that if we were going to set music to the best thing that happened today, that it would be a happy song that we would put alongside it. And I think the song I liked the best was this song.
Really, that's what you chose?
Stay with it. Imagine a sunny day. Best thing that happened today. 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 Come on. Here it goes. Everybody. Best thing that happened today. That's all coming up. You got the bald face truth. Stay wide on the BFT radio.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the bald face.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Face Truth radio show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Face Truth radio show. Thanks for listening.